Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. I'm your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Well, I'm wrapping up our vacation. We've had a wonderful time together. Looking forward to getting back into the saddle. We plan to return Wednesday. I'll be back in my pulpit at the Lighthouse Wednesday night. These things called vacations, well, you know, yeah, that word comes from a French word, vacarious or vacare. Anyway, it means to be unoccupied. Well, I think it has some merit. I'm feeling recharged and ready to return to full service. Now, I trust you have enjoyed your Thanksgiving holiday and are looking forward to Christmas as we are. Now, what I'm going to do today is throw down some commentary on some recent issues, and I'll intersperse that with some Christian music and stuff like that. Maybe I'll throw in a psalm or two or whatever. Let's get started. Friend, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
What is the brain masseur's take on Acosta accosting the president and the court's ruling regarding his White House press pass creds and so on? What about Trump's decision on the Crown Prince Saud of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman? Did the prince order the killing of Jamal Khashoggi? Is that how you pronounce it? Sounds like a Japanese name, Khashoggi. Anyway, let's start here. Folks, I can't say I trust the CIA's assessment. It is ambiguous. It's not a definitive report, and the MSM are disingenuous in the way they're reporting on this, it seems to me. What a surprise, right? And you're sure to get why Trump and his cabinet would be suspicious and careful about moving aggressively on intelligence that is not 100% actionable on a matter of such importance. The CIA, I repeat, the CIA has not definitively determined the culpability of the Crown Prince in the murder of the erstwhile journalist. It's always this or that seems to support and so on. There does seem to be some evidence that he was, that is, the Crown Prince was supportive of the riddance of Khashoggi, sounds Japanese, who was increasingly annoying the family of Saud. But whether he ordered the killing of Khashoggi, sounds Japanese, continues to be denied by the Saudis, and emphatically by the Crown Prince himself, and the king there, and the rest of the family. They're all standing by his denials. Personally, my friend, it's not the sort of thing that would surprise me coming from this family. Why America continues to entangle herself with this crowd puzzles me, and probably has a lot to do with things I'm not privy to. Frankly, I hope it's not simply about oil and arms deals and economics, you know. In fact, I'm certain it has more to do with national security concerns that are tied to Middle East stability, a need to protect the interests of our Israeli friends while keeping our Iranian enemies at bay, and add to that an interest in avoiding driving the Saudis to Russian or Chinese hands. You know, a lot of secret squirrel stuff like that. I certainly hope Trump's simplistic answer, you know, that he did not want to upset an American deal were in the works, right? Or upset, you know, the apple cart of world economy and oil interests and so on. I hope that is not all there is to it. I agree, nevertheless, that it would be inappropriate to dissolve all ties with Saudi Arabia over this alleged human rights abuse when we ignore so many others, right? When neither Obama nor Clinton nor any president, Bush at all, would dissolve ties with China over, say, well, how about Tiananmen Square? You know, something that happened right in front of our eyes. Or when Iran cracked down on a move for freedom back in the day and Obama ignored their plea for help. The hypocrisy of the left is appalling. We'll talk about that some more later. So, you know, I get it. It would not be appropriate to cut off ties to Saudi Arabia unless we were willing to likewise cut off ties with Russia, China, Turkey, Pakistan, and, well, you know, you name it. These countries routinely abuse the human rights of Christians and other dissidents. They kill, torture, imprison journalists, refuse to allow free speech, all the things the American journalists cherish, except when it comes to Kim Jong-un, right? Or ill, or that crowd, you know what I mean? Friend, the swamp sludge is thick with hypocrisy. It's almost impossible to wade through it across. But for my part, I want nothing to do with countries that refuse to recognize the inalienable rights of all men. I mean, it's past time now. The experiment has been proved true. These rights are God-given. They are the right of every human being at birth. While Trump sounded like he was subordinating human rights concerns to our economic interests, I think I've learned how to read this president. It's really simple. Friend, he refuses to allow the left to manipulate him or bully him into doing something for purely political purposes, just to look good, look this way, whatever. So he's probably the most honest president I think that I've ever seen, including Reagan. And I loved Reagan, and I think he was very honest and upfront. But this man is really very authentic. And I believe that's the appeal somebody find attractive about him. You know, he's not going to let himself be manipulated by the hate Trump at every cost, at all costs, media into taking action based on allegations that are not 100% proved. Friend, look, the more serious the allegation, the more serious the consequences of action taken on such allegations, well, the more necessary it is that the evidence supporting those allegations be compelling. If there is any room for, you ready for this one? Remember this old yarn, reasonable doubt, beyond reasonable doubt? Remember that one? You know, we're forgetting all of them, aren't we? The innocent till proven guilty, beyond reasonable doubt. We're just throwing everything out, aren't we? If there's any room for reasonable doubt, it would be foolish to act on this because the consequences of action are so high in this case. They are really so very serious. But again, the left is taking the sledgehammer to yet another valued, cherished American ideal. I mean, the bar has always been set at beyond reasonable doubt. And now they want to lower it to a believable allegation. You know, if it's a believable allegation, that's enough for the left. A believable allegation warrants investigation, but it does not warrant judgment. Now, I think Trump is on the right track with the Khashoggi matter. Sounds Japanese. As for his former connections with bin Laden, that is Khashoggi's former connections with bin Laden, not Trump's. Well, after some investigation into that matter, there is reasonable doubt that he was ever actually allied with bin Laden, and there is plausibility to the argument that, in fact, he had a falling out with Osama bin Laden after the conflict with Russia in Afghanistan had been resolved. He was concerned that Osama wanted to continue the conflict, continue on on a war footing after that was already over. And that there were some signals that Osama was setting his sights on targets beyond the Russian occupation of Afghanistan. On the other hand, there is this picture of Khashoggi, sounds Japanese, holding an RPG in the company of bin Laden. So, you know, folks, hold on. I'll be right back.
In what ways does the Trump presidency connect with end-time Bible prophecy? Will there be peace in the Middle East? Will ancient Babylon be rebuilt? Will Israel rebuild their temple in Jerusalem? Who is the Antichrist? When will the rapture occur? Dr. Scheidbach is a renowned expert on these and virtually all other questions regarding Bible prophecy, and his answers are 100% supported by the Scripture of Truth. To register for this course, call 805-714-7731 or go to SantaMariaLighthouse.org. Get ready for your brain massage.
Well, hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, and the enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Now, what is the brain masseur's take on Acosta accosting the president and the court's ruling regarding his White House press pass credentials being restored and so on? And what's with Roberts flapping about there are no Obama judges and there are no Clinton judges and there are no Reagan judges and there are no Trump judges? And come on, Your Honor. All we're saying is that the judge that Obama appointed or nominated, it's a judge that Clinton nominated, it's a judge that Reagan nominated, it's a judge that Trump nominated. And these judges are nominated based on the values and beliefs of the president who made the nomination, are they not? And so we expect that those qualities or characteristics that attracted the president to make the nomination would be influential in that judge's activity on the court. I mean, it's just a normal thing. And we understand that Obama doesn't control the jurists he appointed or nominated. Again, I had to go back to nomination. We know how it works. They're nominated, and then the Senate confirms them and so on. And anyway, I just don't get where Roberts has to interject himself into this. That's actually not very, shall we say, kosher. It isn't cricket. It isn't, you know what I mean. Acosta is well named. He is an accosting sort of fellow, isn't he? Yeah. To accost is to address boldly or aggressively, or to in some ways attack. And Acosta accosted the president during the fateful press conference of late. You've all seen the video. You've all heard about this ad nausea. The guy's just rude. The left has become a party of rude, mean-spirited bullies. That doesn't include everybody, but I mean, it just seems to be what has become the face of the Democratic Party today. And it's very sad. But that is what socialism does to people, after all. It makes them mean, unhappy, mad, griping. Millions have been murdered and have had their rights abused in the name of socialism. Socialism is anti-social. It's really misnamed. It's anti-human rights. The cruelest people of histoire have been socialists. Lenin, Hitler, Pol Pot, you name them. And that only gets us started. Have you ever heard of the China Democratic Socialist Party? All of those oppressors, they like that word. They like that system. They like socialism. Like Ocasio, whoever, with her shoes in a museum now that you can go bow down to. Is that what you want for America? And they all get their power over the people the same way, promising them free cheese. You know, that mice die in mouse traps because they do not understand why the cheese is free? Think about that. Anyway, Acosta the Acoster had his press credentials revoked, and he sued with CNN's backing, and a court ordered the White House to return the press credentials to Acosta, and the media make it sound like Trump suffered this great loss, and Acosta won, you know, Spartacus all over again, and they make it out like it's about free speech, and it's all a bunch of nonsense. Essentially, the court said, the White House, that is Trump, the administration, needs to establish rules that apply equally to everyone, and that it should be a kind of due process thing. It's a matter of due process, according to this judge, and not First Amendment rights, since no one was denied their First Amendment rights of free speech or free press. And the fact is, the president is not obliged to hold press conferences at all. And there's no constitutional mandate for that. And there is no free speech infringement involved in denying someone access to the president. Everyone forgets Obama's use of the Espionage Act to harass reporters. Times reporter Ali Watkins, anyone? How about Fox News reporters James Risen and Rosen? Risen wrote shortly after Trump's election, quote, if Donald J. Trump decides as president to throw a whistleblower in jail for trying to talk to a reporter or gets the FBI to spy on a journalist, he will have one man to thank for bequeathing him such expansive power, Barack Obama, end quote. And he's right. But, of course, today's anti-Trump press corps, thank you, Obama, for that one. For a corpse it is, you know, a pack of zombies, really, with only one thing on their small little minds, eat Trump, eat Trump. None of them bring this out, you see. I agree with the court's ruling. I'm not real sure I get the connection of this case to the Fifth and its extension in the 14th Amendments. I mean, in other words, I'm not clear on how telling a reporter he is not welcome to a press conference actually deprives some kind of right. I mean, the due process right is connected to rights. It's not just everybody has a right to due process, right? It's just that the due process with regard to the infringement of certain rights, like the right to life or liberty or property. You know, where's the due process in depriving the right of the baby in the womb its right to life? Does anyone have a right to life claim connected with being invited to a press conference with the president? Does anyone have a right to property associated with an invitation to a press conference with the president or a right of liberty? I mean, does anyone or everyone have a right of liberty to be extended an invitation to participate in a press conference provided by the president? Well, then where's my invitation? You see what I mean? This is foolishness. These press conferences are not a right of the people. They are a service provided at the pleasure of the president, and an invitation to attend is a courtesy extended to the press who are invited at his pleasure. And they have no obligation to attend, as he has no obligation to invite them. If the president withdraws an invitation to an unruly guest to his press conference, well, that's perfectly within his purview. I suppose one could argue a sort of right-of-way. You know, is there a sort of adverse possession of a right to attend the press conferences established by the fact that for many years now this is something presidents have done? So has that established a kind of right of adverse possession to a right to attend? You see, this is really weird. Is there a claim of property right on the part of media whose property in trade is news? You know, so therefore, they have some kind of a claim to have access to the president at these press conferences, if any other competitor does? Where is this judge coming from on this? I would have to examine it much more closely than I have time for now. I'm on vacation, okay? Anyway, let's grant for the moment that there is a sort of right in the area of liberty. Well, no, that just simply doesn't work. Maybe in the area of property, if you stretch, you know, yourself really thin on this. But maybe one could argue that if the president grants access to any media, then he has an unwritten obligation to grant access to all media. But surely you can see how that could quickly become problematic. And so in order to withdraw that right, I mean, presuming then this is true, in order to withdraw that right, there must then need to be some rules of decorum to which all invitees are equally subscribed, and there must be some kind of formal procedure established whereby this presumed right of access is denied or curtailed and blah, blah, blah. I think you see what I mean. I don't see any rights being denied here. Acosta can print whatever he chooses. He can say what he chooses, but there's no right to take over a press conference and dominate it rudely. The left has lost its mind. What about his denial of the access of others by his rude behavior? This is the most non-story on which I have ever had the displeasure to offer commentary. It's truly a sideshow. Acosta accosted the president and was rightly rebuffed for doing so. End of story. Here, enjoy. I'll be right back.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, New Brain, Missouri. I understand the Anglican Church has decided God is too masculine. They want to neutralize the gender of deity, at least Christian deity. Not Aphrodites or Venus or Amaterasu or Henna or Ireland's Morrigan, you know, all these female deities. No gender problems with these female deities, okay? Leave them alone. Only the male deities need to be, well, I haven't even heard them call for Zeus to be neutered. Have you noticed? Odd. It's like this back and forth I watched between Tucker and some liberal lady on the issue of toxic masculinity. He kept saying there was no definition of toxic masculinity, and she kept insisting that there was one, as if there was some official, formal, established definition of this term. And on that issue, you know, Tucker made the mistake of thinking that if there was a word in use in common parlance, we should find its definition in a dictionary somewhere, you know? So no doubt he consulted every dictionary he could get his hand on and found that no such term existed. And maybe he forgot that this liberal lady was talking about some book a liberal wrote where this term was used to describe men that abuse women. So in her mind, it was a settled term in the nomenclature of American parlance. It's a politically correct term, say. That's for her world. But Tucker hit it on the head when he asked for the meaning of toxic femininity. She couldn't come up with one because there isn't any. Why is it always something that bashes men, especially white men? You know, what is all this about, really? Well, it's about destroying the foundations of our society here in America, the bedrock upon which this country was founded, the beliefs and values of white European men who back in the early 18th century hit upon the idea of the American Republic, this wonderful experiment in liberty, who happened to be Christian in their values and perspective and their worldview, which perspective and worldview was informed by the Bible. It's about casting off Christian heritage. That's what this is really all about. That's where it's coming from. It's about the raging of the heathen who are saying, we will not have that man, Jesus, to reign over us, just as Jesus said that they would do. The screaming, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us, just like Psalm 2 said that they would. 1,000 years before Christ, so 3,000 and some change. But here's the thing. How long has it been? When I was in Bible college doing my undergraduate work, and that's back in the 70s, and I was taking a course in contemporary theology, we were tracking the trends then. And among them was this idea that God is neither he nor she. Actually, at that time, what they were working to do is to make God a she. They wanted to use the pronoun she instead of the pronoun he. And then later, it came to this idea that God should be neutered, neither male nor female, gender neutral. And that was all back in the 70s, you see. And we who are the hated fundamentalists, were speaking out against this way back then and warning all of our Protestant friends that they needed to pay attention to what's going on here. Most of them refused to listen, and look what's happened in those denominations. And the members in those denominations continued supporting the corrupted corpses. And even now, when these things come out, well, there's some who will complain about it and huff and puff about it, but they'll just continue supporting those dead, putrefying denominations. I'll tell you why we can't get justice in the land. It's because we don't have it in the churches. It begins in the house of God. The churches need to repent of having turned their backs on the God of the Bible. Judgment's going to come. I guarantee you it's going to come. And many are going to be surprised when it does because they are assuming it's going to fall on all those really bad people out there in the world. But my friend, the Bible says judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. The church will be purged first. So I call on you, dear remnant, repent toward God and get ready. You ought to read Ezekiel 9, pay close attention to the principle there, and get ready, because it's coming. I got to go. My friends, I'll see you in church.
In what ways does the Trump presidency connect with end-time Bible prophecy? Will there be peace in the Middle East? Will ancient Babylon be rebuilt? Will Israel rebuild their temple in Jerusalem? Who is the Antichrist? When will the rapture occur? Dr. Scheidbach is a renowned expert on these and virtually all other questions regarding Bible prophecy, and his answers are 100% supported by the Scripture of Truth. To register for this course, call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org.